Good morning. I asked for a male voice to read. I almost heard like Daniel's voice praying the prayer. It's amazing. Thanks, Jonah. I thank Trish for the testimony. That was amazing. And when we hear the testimonies like this, the testimonies especially that bring glory and honor to the name of God, and when we see through that window of testimony into the lives of other believers, it brings the burden into our hearts to pray for them, isn't it? And I was so glad that testimony comes in so well to what I'm preaching today, because I did not know what Trish is saying. But I got confirmation in my heart that God has confirmed what I'm speaking. It will be useful to the congregation, and I believe we'll be able to see how Daniel is also praying for others. We are looking at Daniel chapter 9 today. And Daniel chapter 9 can be divided into two parts. The first part, 1 to 19, is prayer. And the second part, from 20th to the end, is the prophecy, the famous prophecy of 70 weeks. At this time, Israel is experiencing the dark days. When Daniel was praying, they were taken captive for 70 years, and they are in the foreign land. We can look at that as a valley experience for Israel. But they have had their glorious times too, especially if you look at reign of King David, as Solomon builds the temple and dedicates the temple. Those are the glorious days in the history of Israel. In those peak glorious days of Israel, Solomon, while he was dedicating the temple, he does this prayer. He is looking in his wisdom the upcoming valleys for Israel. And so he includes this provision in his prayer as he is building the covenant with God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, when your people, Israel, have been defeated by enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and give praise to your name, praying and making supplications before you in the temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land and give them the land that you gave them and to their ancestors. He starts saying when the Israel fall. It's not if. And surprisingly, God, as he responds to that prayer in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We see in these dark days, Daniel in chapter 9 is exemplifying on seeking God's face. He is interceding on behalf of Israel, confessing their sins to God as he is holding on to that promise and that contract God has made. Now, the idea and the goal for today's morning's message is that we take some of these aspects of Daniel's prayer and then we use that and apply into our prayer lives. I have learned a lot as I'm meditating into this prayer. My views of prayer has changed, and I believe that would help you also as we are meditating this. We'll see the first if you can move to the next one. Daniel gives a indication in first verse saying that this is the first year of Darius. I can't really see from there. Oh, yeah. It's very tiny. My apologies. Daniel says that in the first year of Darius, the Mede, he is doing this prayer. In verse 2, Daniel understood from the scripture according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. I would like to start today's meditation with a question. How is your prayer? Now, that might be too generic. What I wanted to ask is, what is the content, assuming you pray twice a day? Once a day? Let's go with once a day. If you're praying every day, talking to God every day, and if, let's say, we remove the repetitive statements like, thank you, Lord, praise you, Lord, thank you for taking care of me, all those statements, what is the content of pure prayer that you say to God every day? I was very interested because I filtered out all the repetitive statements and what's remaining in my prayer. If you know me, 98% of my friends are basically husbands of my wife's friends. I don't really connect well. I don't have network, but she has fantastic network. Being a husband, I get free connections. There are situations where I had to make conversations with these new friends. First couple of minutes is okay, how is your weekend and how are you doing? But after that, I struggle to continue the conversation. Why? Because I do not know them. And that person do not know me. There are some friends where I know their life. I know their children. I know their health. I know their job. They know my life. I can make a conversation for hours. Now, to make and talk to God every day, you need to know God. How much do you know about God? How do I know God? No one knows fully about God, but God has expressed himself in his word, who he is. He expressed his desires, his heart, his plans, and his purposes that he has for us in his word. So if we read and understand the word and believe the word, then we can make a meaningful conversation with God. The reason I'm saying meaningful is because when we pray, we need to relate ourselves to what God is saying to us. Imagine I'm talking to Rob, and Rob says, how are you, Josh? How is your health? And if I respond to that statement totally with irrelevant information, like, yes, my car is white, that doesn't make sense. If God is speaking to us differently from his word, and we go to God saying totally differently, I just need that, I just need that, then that is not a meaningful conversation. In case of Daniel, the third highest ranking officer in the world's supreme power, the great kingdom, he found time to meditate, investigate, and understand the word of God. And he is reading and understanding the word of God, he decided he would pray. What do we take from this lesson? Sometimes I usually prefer spending more time in reading word, and I know people who give preference to praying. But the prayer and the word of God, understanding the word of God, goes hand in hand. It is a conversation that would be completed if we understand the word and then we talk to God according to that word. In verse 2, the next slide, if we see, so is that the lesson? Yeah. Aligning with God's will through prayer. Now, in verse 3, so Daniel says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and the sackcloth and ashes. Now, Daniel is praying about what? What is he praying about? Of course, it is praying about the restoration of Jerusalem or Israel. But just now we came to know from verse 1 that Daniel understood that God is going to restore after 70 years. Then what is he praying about? Let me read some of the verses, some of the prophecies that happened during the time of Daniel. Even before Daniel was taken captive, even before Israel was taken captive, God spoke through Jeremiah these verses, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 7 and 9 and 12. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord, and you have roused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourself. Because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the people of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror, scorn, and everlasting ruin. Daniel clearly saw the prophecies happening right in front of his eyes. God said, Jerusalem will be taken captive, and that happened while Daniel was still a teenager. God said, not only Jerusalem will be taken captive, God already gave the name of the king, the name of the kingdom. He also said, Jerusalem will be destroyed. And all that happened within his own lifetime. In next verse, in 12, God says that after 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord. And now we are looking at the first year of Persian king. The Babylon has come down. One more prophecy fulfilled around the age of 80 to 85 for Daniel. And the last prophecy that God has given through Jeremiah in chapter 29 is that when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And here comes the famous prophecy or the promise we claim. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. In God's promises that are being fulfilled one after the other in front of Daniel, and Daniel understands God's plan, and God's plan is straightforward. 70 years, I'm giving you time off. After 70 years, I will take you back. When it is so clear in front of Daniel, what is he praying about? He is praying about God to do what he wanted to do. Is that right? But I thought it works the other way around. We pray for things are not in that God's to-do list. But it seems like God, we sometimes, at least that was my view, that I pray for some things which are not happening, maybe it's not in the to-do list. Lord, here is the additional information. Change your plan, suit to my needs. This is my view of prayer. But prayer was never intended to give more information to God or change or manipulate his plans for us. Prayer is all about aligning ourselves to God's will. By praying, God, you do what you have planned to do, in that way, what we are saying is, Lord, I trust that your will for me is better than what I desire for. Your plans you have for me, I trust that it is for good and not to harm me, like we heard the testimony. We are saying, God, that what you have thought about me is right, and we are embracing his will. And in that context, that peace that God gives us will give us the understanding and his will for our lives. When disciples asked Jesus Christ, how do we pray? And Jesus Christ said that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. It is all about God's will happening. It is not about we change his will to our needs. No. But it is about getting that understanding that His word and His will is good for us, and we align into his will. Now, why Daniel is praying? Daniel knows that God is planning to bring them back after 70 years. But Daniel also realizes that God said that if they turn away from their wicked ways, if they confess their sins, if they realize and understand and reflect and ask for forgiveness, then I will bring them back. So Daniel takes this responsibility on his shoulders to intercede for the nation of Israel. He obviously saw there is no turning or changing in Israel from their wicked ways. He saw no repentance yet. So Daniel prays that he confesses sins about Israel so that God can fulfill his promise in his own will. As believers, when we pray, we need to have a different attitude about prayer, not to bend God for our needs, but we are aligning into his will. And also, as believers, we have this great responsibility of interceding, praying for the brethren. It's not about just confessing our sins. We confess the sins of our brethren and our people. One of the famous lies a Christian does, do you know what is that? I will pray for you. We use that very frequently now. I'll pray for you, but we forget. That's because we do not have the burden and we are not able to stand in the same shoes of what the other person is going through. If you're not able to pray, don't say, I will pray for you. But if you say you will pray for them, then like Daniel, stand and identify yourself with the sinful nature of that person or the situation of that person, and we as a believer need to pray for one another. So Daniel is aligning himself with the will of God. The next one, brother. And before we move on to the confession part of Daniel's prayer, I thought it would bring a lot of understanding if I bring this illustration. Imagine a father and a son and a child. Now, father, as a loving father, he obviously teaches the right things to the child. But one day, the father observed the child is telling lies to other child. He was worried, and he starts explaining lying is not right. It is bad. You will have consequences. We do not lie. So he corrects them. After repeated warnings and repeated corrections, the child seems to take father's love and mercy for granted. So he continues to lie. So father gives him a time off, the naughty corner. Say, you stay in the corner for 20 minutes, time off. You don't get to play. You don't have the freedom to run around. But you will be in the punishment. What is the heart of father as the child is standing in the naughty corner or in the time off? What does the father desire? The father's desire is that the child will realize and reflect what just happened. Child realizes that lying is a serious matter. I see there's a consequences. And then he repents about it and change his attitude towards lying as he comes out of the time off at the end of 20 minutes. Now, if you look at this same scenario with God and children of Israel, God doesn't really have, as the father doesn't want his child to be in the corner forever. No, that is not the intention. But he definitely wants a change in his thinking about lying. So as God has repeatedly warned Israelites through prophets that sinning against God, idolatry, or transgression of his law. What is transgression? Sin is doing things, something wrong, and you didn't realize that's a sin. But transgression is knowingly, willingly, knowing and doing a sin. As the children of Israel repeatedly does that, after long suffering and forgiving and mercy, God has given them time off. And 70 years is finishing. His plan is not for them to keep under Babylon or Persia forever. But his heart and desire is that they will have a different attitude to sin as they come out of it. They reflect, they recognize, and they repent. And that is exactly what Daniel is going to pray in next few verses. Can you go to the next one, please? Oh, it's more smaller, isn't it? Sorry about that. Trying to fit everything into a slide. Daniel, the prayer is for 19 verses. And he doesn't come to supplications, or he doesn't come for asking the favor until the verse 16. He first takes a step back and then try to ponder why we are in this situation in the first place. This is exactly God or the Father wants child to reflect. Instead of jumping into the need in our prayer, it is important for us to take a step back and confess. When we are having a conversation, especially if that conversation involves mending the relationship or fixing the fellowship, it is very important we have honesty and we have truth and we have confession in our conversation. And that is exactly what Daniel is doing here. He is trying to have a conversation with Father, but he wants to be honest and be truthful. Bible says in 1 John 1 chapter verse 8 to 10, if you claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Confession is an important step in a prayer. Without confession, if we skip this confession and go to supplications or asking God for favors, it wouldn't work. Even within a conversation of two friends, when there is a broken relationship, first we fix the relationship before we ask for the favor. So Daniel's, and what is a confession? Confession is agreeing on. What is Daniel agreeing on? Daniel is agreeing on, at least in this prayer, two important things. The first one, he is agreeing on the position of God and his character. And he is agreeing on position of Israel's and their need and their sinfulness. When we understand the position, it is a lot easier to understand the sin, right? So many times when, at least in my life, I can't speak for you, but my life goes well, no issues with the job, no financial problems, no health issues, children are doing well. These positions seem to change. The position of God in our life changes. And more dangerously, the position where we should be slowly increases. But in a prayer, it is good to reset those boundaries. It is good to reflect and say, Lord, this is where I am, and this is the need I have. And this is what you are, and this is where you are. I play badminton for like a long time. And we are a team of 10 people. We shout on each other as they don't play well sometimes, and we make jokes and all that. And 2 weeks ago, I came to know that one of those 10 people whom I shout more is joining in my own company, and he'll be my boss. So on Monday night, I'll be shouting, but the next day, I have to reset my boundaries. You're there, I'm here. We need to reset we need to recognize who God is in our prayer. At the same time, we need to recognize who we are. Daniel, he starts with verse 4, the recognition. Lord, the great and awesome God. We use great and awesome very generously, isn't it? Great, awesome. But these words are used appropriately here. I was looking at those photos from Falcon 9, SpaceX, where we see Earth from the space, and they are awesome. That makes sense to use the word awesome there. And here, as Daniel looks at God and his character, he says, Lord, you're good, you're great, and you're awesome. And you keep who keeps his covenant of love for those who love him and keep and his commandments. Lord, you're great, you're awesome, you keep your word. That is what Daniel says. That is your position. And what about our position? We have sinned, we have done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commandments. It's not just us, our kings, our prince, our ancestors, everyone has done wrong. And we are here. This is our position. And then he says, Lord, you're righteous. But we are covered in shame. And all our kingdom is covered in shame. After as he goes through that, he goes into the reflection. Because we are under captive for 70 years, I don't want to blame you, God, because you're righteous. You have continuously showed your mercy and forgive us. And as you said you will punish us, you have punished us. So you're still righteous. That is what he says in verse 9. The Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving even though we have rebelled against him. Verse 10 and 11 on the right side for confession. We have not obeyed the Lord, our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants. Our repeated warnings through his servants. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. But you have fulfilled your spoken words. Verse 14, the Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Verse 13, just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. As we come back to our daily prayer, confession becomes a bigger role. And we must confess, especially when we are talking to someone who already know what we did. You know, it would be very funny to tell lies to someone who already knows everything, or to pretend, we forgot to tell that. No, we need to confess our sins, and we need to say sorry before you ask for favor. And finally, in the last slide, Daniel comes to the petition. Finally, by the way, all those images are from AI. No copyrights. So finally, Daniel comes for the petition and comes for asking God for favor. In last passage, he has rightly pointed that God is righteous by executing the punishment that they are worthy of. But here, he applies or appeals for the other characteristics of God, which is mercy and asking for favor. In verse 15, he says, Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with mighty hand, who made yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Verse 17, Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant for your sake. Here he says, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give hear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. You see how many times he says, it's for your sake and for your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. And he goes on. If you remember, he is remembering the mercy of God as he brought them out of Egypt. Egypt is the world's supreme power at that time. There's no one in this world who can stand against Egypt or King Pharaoh and bring Israelites out of Egypt. But what did God do? God brought Egypt to its knees. God brought Pharaoh to his knees and brought Israelites out. And that is because of his mercy. But as he does that, there was something else that is happening. No one knew the name of the Lord. No other nation knew who God is. But they knew who Egypt is, the great power. As God brought this great power to its knees, God has glorified his name to all the nations. And suddenly everyone came to know there is a God, a God of Israel, who can bring the supreme power, like Egypt, to its knees. Now, what Daniel is referring to is that, Lord, as you showed your mercy, as you made your name in the nations, as you honored your name, everyone in these nations now knows that we belong to you and we bear your name. We fall, your name is dishonored. We are glorified, then your name is glorified. I know you all remember, but I wanted to remind you once again that what you are and what you have, it is all because of mercy and the favor of God. And as we claim his mercy and his favor, we need to remember we are carrying his name. As communities and people outside, not the people within the church, we can pretend well in the church as if we are good boys and good girls. But as we speak and as we behave outside in the communities, we need to remember that we are bearing God's name. We can bring a glory to his name, or we can bring dishonor to his name. So Daniel says, Lord, these people Israel has already become a joke. They're mocking at Israel. We are under this captivity for so long. For your name's sake, to bring glory to your name, you need to intervene today, including the great salvation that we have is purely because of his mercy and because of his favor. We need to remember that. And finally, he says, not because we are worthy that we are asking this, but because of your mercy. We need to remember our state. Our life is not about ourselves. Our glory in this world is not because God wants you to be glorified. Our life is for the glory of God. Everything we do, that could be a job, that could be the things we do every day, it is all about God and his glory. We have needs, but God has his plans. We want good things, but God has a bigger plan of establishing his kingdom on this earth. I just wanted to conclude this morning, but these aspects have changed my view on prayer. So I just put them together there, that importance of meaningful prayer. Like Daniel, our prayer should reflect a deep understanding of God's word. To have a meaningful conversation with God, we must know him, and then we must believe his scriptures. Aligning with God's will. Prayer is about aligning ourselves with God's will, not changing it. By understanding and believing his promises, our prayers become more effective, aligned with his plans for us. Confession and repentance. Daniel's prayer emphasizes the importance of confession and repentance. Admitting our sins and seeking God's forgiveness is essential for restoring our relationship with God. Honoring God's name. Our lives and prayers should honor God's name, recognizing his mercy and favor in our lives. So that would conclude today's morning meditation, And we will let the online viewers to continue with the communion with the family. But for us, who we are here, we will move forward into the communion. I just wanted to bring one last point before we move into communion that might help us to worship God, Jesus Christ. Daniel, who is called highly esteemed by God, he is greatly beloved. There's nothing written in the Bible that brings and talks about the sin of Daniel. We saw many great people in the Bible where their sin was exposed. And he identifies himself with a sinful state of Israel as he intercedes and stands between God and the people, asking for forgiveness. But I wanted to remind you that it is not an exaggeration that Daniel does that, because Daniel could be a good man, but he is not sinless. But I wanted to remind you an interceder who continuously intercedes for you and for me and stands between the wrath of God and sinful state of us, who is Jesus Christ. And he is sinless. But he became a sin. He took the form of human being, he became the servant, and he became a criminal for us. Daniel could only urge and beg God, but Jesus Christ paid penalty for that sin. And so I want you to remember these thoughts, especially as we go into the corporate worship, that Christ is our interceder, and he continuously intercedes for us. Let's do the worship.